From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Birthright citizenship probably works its way up to the Supreme Court. It will be signed. We wanted a perfect document.
Well, happy Friday. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. That was President Trump the other day talking about birthright citizenship. Well, a member of Congress has introduced a resolution calling for an end to birthright citizenship. And with so many shootings in the news, Democrats have said weakening the Second Amendment will be a priority. In just a moment, we'll talk with Congressman Brian Babin of Texas about both of those issues. And about 2,000 Central American illegal migrants have reached the Mexican border city of Tijuana, and another 1,200 from a second caravan set out from Mexico City toward the border today. We'll talk with Border Agent Art Del Cueto, who will be with us to talk about the current situation down on the border. And after receiving a letter from First Liberty Institute, Honey Grove Independent School District in Texas, officials reversed a decision that forced students praying together, get this, to hide behind a cafeteria curtain, or to move to an empty gym, or relocate outside to pray. Associate Counsel Keisha Russell of First Liberty Institute will be here with that story. And a reminder, Family Research Council's first ever D.C. Heritage Christian Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March 28th through the 31st, 2019. This is a trip, folks, you won't want to miss, hosted by Tony Perkins and a number of special guests, along with exceptional cuisine. And believe me, the food in D.C., I'm a foodie, you know that. Love the food in D.C. And fellowship with like-minded travelers. You'll also enjoy five-star accommodations at the Trump International Hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue. And as always, every aspect of this travel experience will be first-rate, thanks to our longtime travel provider, Inspiration Cruises and Tours. And of course, all of this great information is on TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at RJonesReports. Well, President Trump has proposed using an executive order to curtail birthright citizenship, which confers automatic citizenship on children born in the United States, regardless of their parents' nationality. Well, a member of Congress, U.S. Representative Brian Babin, he is proposing to do this through legislation. He is the co-chairman of the House Border Security Caucus for the 116th Congress. He has issued a statement on this. He is pushing forward some policies that are being considered as we speak. And you know, among advanced nations, only Canada and U.S. provide such citizenship. Well, joining us now is Congressman Brian Babin. He represents the 36th Congressional District of Texas and co-chairman of the House Border Security Caucus. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you very much, Russ. It's always good to be on this show and your great organization. There's just a lot of issues facing Americans today, and this is one of them. I think one of the biggest magnets drawing illegal aliens into our country is birthright citizenship. And it's got a long history, but historically it's a relatively short history because the 14th Amendment basically of the Constitution was written in 1866 following the end of the American Civil War, and it was applied as law for a century simply give citizenship to the children of former slaves that were in the United States. Nowhere in any way was it written to give citizenship to people who come here illegally. And I think I really am supportive of President Trump as he's boldly committed to look at this issue and also promised to write an executive order. Now that we've lost the House of Representatives to the Democrats, the next 24 months will probably be really tough for us to get something like this legislatively. But the president has got that power and authority with executive orders, and this is why I have introduced this resolution so that we can turn this ridiculous thing around. As I said, from 1866 to the 1960s, this in no way gave citizenship to illegal aliens' children. And only since the 1960s, it's been misapplied to create this birthright citizenship.
And you know, Congressman, it seems like birthright citizenship has long served as a kind of an incentive for illegal immigration, hasn't it? Over time, it's become wrongly accepted as law and protected by our Constitution.
Absolutely. Over time, since the 60s, it has been wrongly accepted as law or protected by the Constitution. And it is simply inaccurate. It is not truthful. Birthright citizenship is a powerful, very, very powerful incentive for illegal immigration to continue, for people to sneak in to the country illegally. And goodness gracious, they don't even sneak in anymore. They just step across, give themselves up. And when they have children, those children are actually anchor babies, and the entire family can come in. This is what's been going on for the last several decades, and absolutely, it is only being justified. This situation is only justified by a faulty legal application. It has never been protected by the Supreme Court. This has never gone to court. And this practice should not require any kind of constitutional amendment. And so I believe that ending this practice will be a great additive and a tool to cut down on illegal immigration. As you know, we've been told for years and years there's approximately 11 to 12 million illegal immigrants in this country. Harvard University and MIT had a study that came out about 6 weeks ago, showing that it's more in the line of 22 to 29 million illegal immigrants in this country. It is out of hand, and it is a difficult situation for American taxpayers. I'm a former mayor, a former school board member. When you have floods of the children of illegal immigrants in our country, and many don't pay any property taxes, which is what runs our schools in the state of Texas and many other states. And so it is a huge burden on taxpayers. So we've got to do something about this. I'm very happy to be supporting the president on this issue.
Now, I'd be curious to know, no secret, pretty rough for Republicans in the midterms here in certain areas of the country. I would imagine you're not going to see a lot of partisanship on this, because this hits all the hot buttons for Democrats. Children become instantly eligible for welfare benefits. I've traveled the world in just very few places open up their doors so freely to their welfare dollars, and greater difficulty deporting parents and incentives for illegal immigration. So talk with us about any support from the other side.
No, I haven't gotten any support from the other side on the resolution, and I don't anticipate any, to tell you the truth. However, this is very supported by many of my conservative Republican colleagues, and I think you said it in your opening statement on the show today that there's only two first world countries, United States and Canada, that are categorized as first world countries, and we're the only ones of first world countries that grant this situation to give citizenship to illegal aliens, offspring. Other countries, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, have ended the practice altogether. And quite frankly, I think if even though I you don't even have to be an attorney to see. If you read the 14th Amendment, you will see in there that the amendment text includes a residency requirement. And what it does, it says that the children of people who are under the jurisdiction of the United States government will get citizenship. Strictly was to apply to the children of slaves post-Civil War in 1866, and absolutely does not pertain to people who have come into this nation illegally, because they actually are subject to their own foreign jurisdiction and the country that they come from, not the United States. They're certainly have to come under American law in terms of criminal activity, but we don't have jurisdiction. Mexico or Afghanistan or any other nation from where they come from are the ones that have the jurisdiction over them, and that does not pertain to the 14th Amendment. So I think that this can be, I believe it'll probably go all the way to the Supreme Court, and I'm confident. We've got two great new appointees that are confirmed by the president that I think will look at this in a fair-minded way and get any political agenda removed. I believe that we will see success when this all comes down.
Now, in our remaining few minutes, Congressman, with so many shootings in the news, Democrats, and this is pretty predictable, isn't it, have said, you know, they're pretty strong on weakening the Second Amendment and making that a priority. You're working on some issues in that front. Tell us about it.
Yes, sir. You know, the Democrats are already promising to introduce some bills that will infringe upon our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. And it has become, tragically, it's become a routine thing to see these targeted violent events where someone will take a weaponized vehicle or weaponize a vehicle or a knife or a gun or bombs, and mass casualty events are occurring way too frequently here and impacting our nation. And some are badly mistaken in thinking that taking away the guns from law-abiding citizens would somehow end these tragedies. And I think that there's another way to do this. In fact, we have got a bill out. It's called the TAPS Act, Threat Assessment, Prevention, and Safety Act. And what this does, we've seen before that gun control measures that takes guns away from good guys simply empowers the bad guys. And this is a solution. I believe that the TAPS Act will use threat assessment, which is a process or a method that has been pioneered by the Secret Service after the assassination attempt on Reagan back in, 1981. And it's proven very, very successful. You identify, investigate, assess, and mitigate threats against the president, foreign dignitaries, and even celebrities. And a number of not only the Secret Service, but the FBI now uses this. The Capitol Hill Police, that actually protects us as members of Congress, using this same method. The problem is it is not a part of the fabric and culture of the of local law enforcement. And so I'll give you an example.
You got about 10 seconds.
Okay. Well, we've seen this thing work. And instead of taking people's guns away, we need to make sure this is part of law enforcement, and that's what this bill is going to do.
Congressman Babin of Texas, thank you so much. Insightful as always. You have a blessed weekend. Appreciate your service.
You bet. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. That's Representative Brian Babin of Texas. Well, coming up next, thousands of illegal migrants have made their way to the southern border, a majority seeking employment, not asylum. When we return, we'll talk with Border Agent Art Del Cueto. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Today, moral relativism and political correctness are assaulting truth. How can the world have hope when believers themselves aren't clear on the authority of the Bible?
The Church of Jesus Christ always faces a tremendous temptation to deviate from the Word of God.
The God who speaks clearly expresses God's intent in giving us His Word and the response that is demanded of those who hear.
Nobody ever encounters God and says, "That was boring and irrelevant." When people say that about the Bible, it just says to me they've not encountered the God of the Bible.
Our faith is rooted in history, and consequently we need to use the evidence and never be afraid of it.
The God Who Speaks is a feature-length documentary from the American Family Association, which could bolster your confidence in the Word of God.
Churches really need to see this, really need to understand what the Bible actually is.
Available now at thegodwhospeaks.org.
Back in 07, my father passed away. My mother had passed away 7 years earlier, and they left me a small inheritance, and I wanted to give back to AFA for all they have done for me.
Carol talks about her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I am an avid listener to AFR, 12 hours a day, and I hear Dan Celia talking about the charitable gift annuity. I liked what the gift annuity offered, donated a certain amount, and from that, I get a check every month, which is retirement income for me.
If you'd like to support the work of the AFA and receive a fixed income for life, a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation may just be what you're looking for. Learn more by contacting the Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Here's Walker Wildman for Redeem Clean Laundry Products.
Not only do you get a great product and you get to obviously clean your clothes, get the stains out and use a multi-surface cleaner to clean your countertops and use the dryer sheets, you're doing all of this and the money's going to support the work of American Family Association.
Redeem Clean Laundry Products were developed by AFA supporters Lynn Ingram and Jim Duncan to assist in funding the mission of the American Family Association. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made right here in the United States.
The great thing about Redeem Clean is not only is the product great, but it goes to support a great cause, and that is the work of American Family Association.
For clean laundry and a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Planned Parenthood.
Well, happy Friday. You've tuned into the Washington Watch Friday edition. Powered by the Family Research Council, I'm Russ Jones, producer of the show, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, an honor to be with you here today. Well, Central American illegal migrants, with a caravan of some 7,000 to 10,000 members, are admitting once again that they are not asylum seekers, but rather economic migrants looking for jobs in the United States. With us now is Art Del Coito. He's the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council and Border Patrol agent. He's been on the show before. Always a wealth of information. Welcome back to Washington Watch. Art, how are you doing?
Thank you. Good, good. Thank you for having me on. First and foremost, I don't want to correct you or be rude, but the reality is these people are not migrants, they're invaders, and that's, I think, what we should call them. And the reason behind that is when you have a group of individuals that are escaping their so-called suppressed country and trying to make a better life for themselves, you don't enter another country by force, flying the country of this, the flag of the country that supposedly is oppressing you. So I call them invaders. I know I've been criticized for that, but there's a proper way to go through immigration. There's a proper way to be able to come into this country and become an asylum seeker, just like there's a proper way to come to my home and ask for water, and it is not by going through the window.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, anytime you have that large, if that was a military force of that number, it would be considered, you know, a militaristic attack. Wouldn't you agree? And they are organized. They were trying to slam our border. And who knows what's embedded within that caravan?
I 100% agree. And the reality is that immigration should not have anything to do with political party. I believe regardless of what political party you're affiliated with, we all want security. We all want a safe country, a safe border. And just making it political is it's getting old. Making it racial is getting old. The reality is you have a group of individuals that do not care for the laws of our country. They've decided to invade our country. And a lot of it, honestly, is to blame on the leaders of the agencies within CBP and DHS, because if you have consequences for breaking the law, then it detains you from breaking such law. But when you still have catch and release and no true consequences for these individuals, then they're going to continue breaking our immigration policies.
Well, Art, let me ask you this. You know, I read this morning that U.S. border inspectors are processing only about 100 asylum claims a day at the main border crossing in San Diego. What new can you add to this dialogue, this conversation that maybe folks aren't hearing from the mainstream media? You're on the front lines of this. What's going on? What's new that you are seeing out there?
Well, I'll tell you what, more importantly, what is a problem and what is not new. We don't have the capabilities or enough immigration judges down there to review a lot of these cases. So unfortunately, what's happening is these people are getting released, and you pretty much, it's the honor system, and you hope that they show up for either their deportation hearing or their asylum case. Back when President Trump first took over, he lowered the numbers of the illegal entries just on rhetoric alone. And members of the agency failed to capitalize on that. And that's why we're having what we have now is continuous people breaking the laws because of catch and release. Catch and release is still going on. Even with President Trump's announcement that he will not allow asylum cases if they do not go through the proper steps. And that's one of the words that a lot of the people in the media don't like to explain. He didn't say he was getting rid of asylum cases. He said you have to do it the right way in order to be able to be eligible for asylum. So, but what's happening now is these individuals that are still crossing illegally, they still have to go through a deportation hearing because of the lack of judges that we have down there in those areas for the deportation. What's happening is they're still getting caught and then released. And like I said, we're hopeful that they show up for their immigration case, which 98% have not shown up in the past.
Well, I read on Wednesday, 22 buses, 22 of caravan of these illegals were escorted by state and federal police to the northern border state in Mexico. And this comes as reports say that the U.S. has started accepting these asylum claims with these folks in the caravan. I mean, that's a lot of folks. What do you see the state or the country, the nation of Mexico doing? Are they hindering or helping or aiding? What are they really doing?
I mean, I pretty much believe, I mean, they're aiding. They offered them asylum. Obviously, their president said, I'll offer you asylum if you're willing to stay in just these two states. And if you follow social media, a lot of the citizens of Mexico themselves were upset with these people. And I don't want to say it's comical, but it's a little different when you hear the Mexican citizens upset over the caravan and upset over these individuals and some of the comments that they make towards them. And I believe if an American citizen would make that exact comment of these Hondurans or even the Mexicans that are entering our country legally, we would immediately be labeled as the biggest racist country in the world.
And you know, we have a lot of Christian folks that listen to this show, and this isn't about loving our neighbor, really, is it, Art? It's not about not opening, being available to those that are seriously in need. And I think that's the biggest concern I have is people try to blame conservatives and Christians and say, well, what would Jesus do? You know what? And I know I didn't invite you on to get into a theological discussion, but this really isn't about loving your neighbor. This is about something much different. What say you?
No, it really has nothing to do with that. And I've said it many times. I mean, if you want to come to my home and you want me to assist you or help you in any way, I think the proper way to do it is by knocking on my front door and me opening the door and greeting you and vetting you if I want you inside my home or on my family. It's not through, forcing your way through the front door, and it's definitely not through breaking the window and jumping in the window. And, you know, I don't close my doors at night because I hate the people outside. I close them because I love the people inside, and the same thing should be done to our nation's borders.
Very good point. Art Del Coito, thank you so much. Appreciate your service, and stay safe in all that you do, and we appreciate your service.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on.
All right. Thank you so much. Art Del Coito, he's the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council, and he's a Border Patrol agent. He knows what's going on very much. Well, you're listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. Coming up next, a North Texas school officials reverse policies that denied students the right to pray during church. We'll talk with Keisha Russell of First Liberty Institute when we return. Don't go away. You're listening to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. We'll be right back.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, as we head into a new week, it certainly looks like the Federal Reserve could be possibly pausing a bit in 2019, as Fed Chairman Jay Powell did point out recently that there's some headwinds that they need to keep an eye on as we head into 2019. Maybe that was his idea of being a little bit more dovish and could possibly see some sort of pause in this continuation of raising rates. It looks like the Fed plans to review just how it's going to pursue its goals of increasing rates while keeping a close eye on jobs and inflation. Well, oil, pairing some of its losses, six weekly losses. Now, they're pairing some of these losses on expectations that OPEC is going to institute some curbs to slow down production. We'll see if that happens. Other international news, of course, is the UK, and very concerned about the UK not seeing the will of the people being followed through and Brexit actually happening. We are seeing a dramatic drop in the sterling pound, the currency of the UK. I think this dramatic drop is primarily due to the notion that they may be trying to stay in the European Union. The UK has an opportunity to make history and to really do an incredible work for the people of the United Kingdom. But apparently, Parliament a little bit too insecure for that. Many are concerned about pulling out. Well, not a lot of economic data coming out this week again, and we have a short trading week due to Thanksgiving, so we don't expect to see a lot of volume. The following week will be the week of economic data and start to see what retail sales numbers look like from Black Friday.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. This show is powered by the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. Good to be with you on this Friday edition. Well, in early September, Hannah Allen and a group of her student friends at Honey Grove Middle School in Texas prayed together during lunch for one of their former classmates who had recently been in an accident. You ready for this? Their principal told them they needed to stop. Now, no school officials were involved with the prayers, and when Hannah and her friends decided to continue their prayers during lunch the next day, the principal told them they had to move behind a curtain in the cafeteria, remove themselves to the gym, or meet alone outside. Well, with us now is Associate Counsel Keisha Russell of First Liberty Institute, who is representing the case. Keisha, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me, Russ.
Wow, this is just another one of those stories that makes you go, scratch your head, cock your head a little, you know, differently. And so thankful for organizations like yours that have stepped up to the plate. Did I set that up right? Give us an update here.
Yeah, you did set it up right. The update really is that right now, you know, the school is allowing Hannah and her other friends to pray out in the open, not forcing them to hide or, you know, go into what, you know, we refer to as isolation in order to exercise what is clearly, you know, part of their faith. And something I also think is important for, you know, the students in the school to see, you know, their peers being free to exercise their religion and also, you know, voice whatever speech they feel is necessary. And in this case, you know, it's a private student speech. And, you know, the school really isn't permitted to, you know, ostracize the students because that speech is religious or, you know, ostracize the students because they're choosing to pray, you know, for their classmates. So at this point, we're you know, the school district's opinion on the matter is just that in some way they felt that the prayer was disruptive. But it's not, you know, entirely clear to us at this point what they really mean by that. And so we're still in the process of getting some clarification on that and, you know, really trying to make sure that we come to an understanding with the school district that ensures that Hannah and her friends are permitted to exercise their religion in a way that meets the constitutional requirements moving forward.
Now, you all sent a letter to the school, is that right? What did you say in the letter?
We did send a letter to the school, and we just told them that, you know, the free exercise clause and the free speech clause protects religious expression, and student speech is highly protected in the law. And, you know, the school is not permitted to treat the students as if they have some sort of infectious disease and that they need to be, you know, quarantined from the rest of the students. And, you know, to the school district's credit, they did respond immediately and, you know, are still trying to work out the situation with us. So at this point, we're happy with, you know, the resolution, but we still want to make sure that they don't have any issues like this in the future.
So the school didn't push back. They responded, and actually, I guess we should applaud the school because they responded in a favorable way, I suppose.
I mean, they had some disagreement because they did say that they felt like in some way the prayer was disruptive. But we, on our side, it wasn't really communicated clearly what they meant by that. And so that's what we're kind of working out to make sure that we have a thorough understanding of what that means. Hannah has a thorough understanding of what that means. The students have a thorough understanding of what that means. And so moving forward, everyone knows, you know, what the students are allowed to do. And we know that praying in the open is something that they are permitted to do. So we want to make sure that there's no misunderstanding, you know, between the principal and the students about what their religious exercise, about the protection of the religious exercise in school.
Right. And I guess the learning for our listeners and parents who have school-aged children and whatnot is that there is a lot more freedom than folks may realize. And this is one of those cases where it seems like an institution that has authority tried to possibly use intimidation to silence shut the students up, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want all of the parents and even the students listening to know that religious speech, religious expression is fully protected. In school, you can pray, you can talk about your religion with your friends, and the school really isn't permitted to stop you from doing that unless in some way you're being like hugely disruptive, which is, you know, really kind of difficult to imagine with, you know, kids who are just kind of praying on their own. But you know, any of your listeners, I want them to know that if they ever incur any problem like this, they should go to firstliberty.org and, you know, check out some of our resources. Definitely reach out for help if, you know, they're ever in a situation like this. You know, we just want to prevent people from, you know, facing these kinds of problems in the future.
Well, Keisha, thank you so much, and thank you for the work at First Liberty Institute. Appreciate you coming on the show and bringing us up to date on this. You have a blessed week, okay?
You too. Thanks for having me.
All right. Keisha Russell of the First Liberty Institute. Folks, you have far more rights than you think. Don't let the big folks push around, intimidate. Hey, it's time to open up the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Let's do a mental health checkup, a spiritual gut check. You know, I was out in California here for recently, smoke all over the place, fires and shootings. And how are you doing? Give us a call, 866-372-7234. How are you pushing into the Lord? You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones. We'll be right back.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
The Ministry of Preborn meets abortion-minded women right where they are and reaches them with the love of Christ.
We showed her love, and we accept her right where she's at. If the baby's saved by what we do here and the mother's life is spared from the devastation of abortion, that definitely helps them in this life. But this is not all that there is. We want our clients to know about Jesus.
I got to see his heartbeat. It kind of just looked like a little butterfly in a bubble. The Lord gave me that baby, and he gave me that baby for a reason.
The Ministry of Preborn runs and leads Christian pregnancy centers all over the country, helping abortion-minded mothers to choose life for their unborn babies. To find out more about how you can help save a baby's life, go to preborn.com or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible.
Our concern about 13 Reasons Why has not diminished. If you've signed the AFA petition to Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, then you've probably heard the story of Anna Bright, who killed herself after binge-watching the show. But did you know she wasn't the first, nor the last? Other young people have been influenced by this program and have taken their own lives. Netflix says they want to stimulate conversations about taboo topics like teen suicide, but they still refuse to have a conversation with the American Family Association about the dangers of their show. Please pray that God will change Mr. Hastings' mind so that he pulls 13 Reasons Why before another life is lost. Look for the AFA Action Alerts with information you can email and share on social media so that others can sign the petition too by visiting afa.net. Every vulnerable teen is another reason why.
CE.
Indeed, you know what we're doing. We're rounding third, heading towards home. It's the Friday edition of Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call. Phone lines are open, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Time to do a spiritual gut check, heart check, mental health check. How are you doing? What's going on out there? Was out in San Francisco area for a few days, and the smoke was so thick. Did you hear about this story? Maybe some of you watched The Young and the Restless. You may not admit it. Young and the Restless star Brenda Epperson, she is reminding Christians of the power of prayer amid disaster there. And she's a Christian actress, you know. She explained that the wildfires that have raged her neighborhood burned everything around her except her home. Except her home. And she posted a video on Facebook, even. She showed her friends that the fire stopped right at her property line, sparing their horses and their home. And she says in this Facebook video that she continuously prayed Psalm 91 over her home so that would protect their animals and their property. You know, and we are in a, you know, we're in a serious time. And what are you doing to gird up, to protect yourself? How are you doing out there? How are you feeling about our nation? How are you feeling just about life in general? Would love to hear from you. Don't leave me hanging here today, folks. It's Friday. Been a long week. I want to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. What's going on in your life? How are you feeling about you know, on the back heels of the election in the midterms? How are you pressing in? How are you agreeing to pray and to lock arm in arm with your spiritual brothers and sisters to pray for the nation and to pray for one another and to carry one another's burdens? You know, in this culture, we have this thing of, hey, just go pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Some ways that's healthy. In other ways, you know, I see how many of the different ethnic cultures, Asian cultures, Hispanic cultures, they really, they help one another. they join arms, they help each other get on their feet, they do business together, they do life together in many ways, and you know, that's a healthy thing. Sometimes we can get so isolated that we forget that we are doing life and doing journeys with one another and with each other. And how are you praying for your brothers and sisters? How are you holding each other accountable? Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. It's Friday. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And the power of prayer in, this actress Brenda Epperson of Young and the Restless, that's pretty amazing. She said, I just kept praying Psalm 91 over our home. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in his mighty shadow. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare and the deadly pestilence. 1,000 may fall on your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. It will not come near you. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Hi, Joe. Happy Friday. How you doing, brother?
Hi. Hey, I'm blessed. How are you doing today?
Blessed. Highly, highly, highly blessed.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm thankful we did get a – I'm not entirely happy with the way the midterms went, but I think we did make some headway with the Christian conservatives. Marsha Blackburn is a good Christian conservative. We got her in Tennessee, a big upgrade from Corker. Josh Hawley, Missouri, a strong Christian conservative, and we got him in, a big, big upgrade from McCaskill. In Texas, Christian conservative Ted Cruz was able to fight off, $75 million in ads against him, and, definitely a big conservative versus what we would have gotten with Beto, the liberal. And it's looking, I'm hopeful in Florida that we, the DeSantis and Scott can hold their leads and keep the Christian conservative agenda going in Florida. It's, disappointing. And in Arizona, you would have the people of Arizona would elect a liberal socialist over a fighter pilot hero who's, she's flown, missions right to protect the country, and people of Arizona voted in a liberal. So it kind of makes you mean we're definitely in a war with the evil forces, and the Christian conservatives have got to stay diligent. I mean, the primaries, we're going to be active in the primaries next year and just, support the Christian conservatives. I would urge your listeners, please don't send your donations to the swamp in Washington. Find a good Christian conservative candidate and send your money directly to them. Ted Cruz was outspent 10-1 in Texas, and the Washington Finance Committee left a lot of conservatives out. King in Iowa, they left him out to dry, and they just. Please send your money directly to the Christian conservatives. Please do not send your money to the swamp in Washington. God bless you and all that
God
you
bless
do.
You.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Joe in Ohio, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Let's go to George in Mississippi. Hey, George.
How
welcome.
You doing, brother? Welcome.
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
Oh, man. Get any better, I have to be twins.
I tell you, I'd be a triplet with you.
We got to get some adult supervision for Brother Pastor, because he's like a little kid, because everything starts at the home. And you can tell, I'm not trying to condemn his parents, but it might be he's just rebellious, but he ain't got no home training, because you don't just talk to the President of the United States like that and treat him like that. There's something wrong with the boy. He needs adult supervision. And that judge did it in favor of, against, the president. Something wrong with him, too. But the main thing, we just got to pray for him. And that sister that prayed Psalm 91, I give you a quick testimony. I was doing some mission work in the United States in a shelter and with one of these day labor places. I always read the Bible, and we were going to a site. and there were three guys in the back, me and the driver in the front. And I'm reading the Bible, and I'm with two of the guys in the back said, "Man, why he always reading that Bible?" And the guy in the middle said, "Hey, leave him alone. I'll tell you something about that Bible." And this kid was about small white kid, about 5 foot tall, about 120 pounds. He said, "I did something stupid. I went to state prison." He said, "And I read Psalm 91 every day for 3 years, and nobody touched me."
I love it.
Psalm 91 is something we got to pray, because if the body of Christ raised up, we'd have won every Republican challenge this time. The churches and the body of Christ has got to raise up and vote and pray for godly candidates. Because mm-hmm. once we do, it won't be we ain't gonna worry about the Democrats. Because we like you turn on the light. You turn on the light, ain't no dark stays around.
Yeah. Well, you've made some very good points, George. And you know, as far as Acosta, doesn't it just make you want to ask? I know your mama taught you better.
Yes. Taught him better manners than that. Oh my God, it's like unbelievable. I mean, and then the fact is, he think it's cool, and all the mother folks think it's cool. I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
They say in the South, what wrong with
them? Yeah. George, you got me giggling. Thank you so much, George. You have a blessed weekend, all right? I think we lost George. He got me laughing. You're listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Let's go to Monty in Texas. Give us a call. We got time for a few more calls. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Hey, Monty, how are you doing on this Friday?
Hey, Russ, how you doing, brother?
I'm good.
Question for you. That congressman, was that Babbitt that you were talking to, that you were interviewing?
Babin, B-A-B-I-N. Congressman,
that's right.
Brian.
Okay, great. I got a question. How come they always do this stuff after the Democrats get in control? How come they didn't do nothing when they had the House? That's a fair question. I mean, they always do this. It seemed like they always do this. They had control of the House. If they were going to do something, how come they didn't do it then? I take it from being a Texan that they really don't want to do anything. And now that the Democrats are in charge, they can blame it on them. See,
yeah.
I mean, why didn't he have the resolution when he? Why didn't he do? We see this all the time. Why didn't he have the resolution? Do the resolution when they had the House?
Yeah. Well, that is a good question. Maybe send him a note on that. I know there were a lot of things that were trying to get in place. You know, how long have we been trying to get folks reelected? I think a lot of folks were trying to win their elections, and there was a certain window there of legislation, and it wasn't there. And, I think some are asking the same question about Obamacare, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. But I think conservatives, I'm like a lot of them, like Dan Sig and a lot of them. He says it all the time, and I believe it too. They're going to have to get some backbone. You know, if you're worried more about being elected than you are doing your job, then, you know, tell us.
Right.
You know, tell us. Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do all these resolutions. Why? Now you don't have the House. Now you're going to have trouble getting it done. How come you didn't do it when you had the House? That's a fair question. It really is.
Right. Yeah, no, Monty, you bring up a good point, and it'll be curious. I think, Monty, we can pretty predictably say there's going to be a lot of gridlock here the next 2 years, and it'll be curious to see.
Well, it's curious to me, Russ. I mean, they told us to give them the House. We done that. Give us the Senate, but we did that to them. Now they give us the presidency. We gave them that, and what did they do? They messed around. And now we're going to have to deal with the Democrats all over again and their pro-left liberal extremist agenda. So what do we do about that?
What we're going to do is watch them investigate President Trump here for the next 2 years and just hound the dickens out of that. And, you know, I think we all know what that looks like.
I understand where you're coming from, but they had the House. If they wanted to do any of these resolutions why is it that the Republicans, they tend to stab each other in the back, but the Democrats, they stick together to the bitter end.
I totally agree with you on that one. They don't typically air their dirty laundry in public. They stick together, whether they agree with each other or not, and they do battle behind closed doors. And the Republican Party tends to do it the other way around. It's just my observation.
Yeah, they do. Well, thanks you for letting me say something, Russ. I appreciate it. But if they're going to do anything, they should have done it when they had the House. That's when they should have done something. Well, I think they drag their feet, and this is the blame. This is what they get for dragging their feet.
Hey, you have a good weekend. Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. You know, I had lifted up this actress, Christian actress from The Young and the Restless, praying Psalm 91 over her home. You know, she said, "We could only evacuate the horses that could fit in our trailer, which was 3 horses, and then all of our neighbors had horse borders, so all of their horses, 25, 30 horses, went in that pen, and so there were 35 horses there, and the fire stopped." God stopped that fire right at our property line. Every horse was okay. They had water. They didn't even have ash on them. It's an amazing story, really. And Epperson said, "It was only through the power of prayer that God stopped that fire. Now Epperson and her family are taking to the streets to help their neighbors, most of them who have lost everything." Got time for another call or two real quick. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. And sure appreciate you guys. I hope you're getting ready for Thanksgiving next week. You know, I've got this special cranberry sauce recipe. And got my hair cut earlier today, and she was asking about what I was going to do for Thanksgiving. I said, "Well, I'm dusting off my cranberry recipe, which has got, I cook the cranberries in orange juice and cider, and then I don't get it real mushy, let them stay a little chunky, and I add celery and apples and pears and walnuts and some cinnamon, some sugar, of course, but you don't want to make it too sweet." You know what, folks that don't normally eat cranberry sauce, they eat mine. And don't you dare buy canned cranberries. Don't you dare do that. It's too easy to make fresh cranberries, okay? Make that pledge with me right now. I will not serve canned cranberries on Thanksgiving. You go buy your bag of cranberries for a couple of bucks, and you got all this stuff at home to make really good homemade cranberries. Well, from Psalm 91, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." You've been listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And friends, if the water doesn't rise and the Lord tarries, we will see you again on Monday. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.